If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
When somebody approaches you through social media and wants you to take a look at some startup company or some real estate or some investment opportunity, is your money calm, cautious, or nervous? So it's kind of like a traffic light, green for calm, yellow for cautious, red for nervous.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Hey, just to give you a heads up, this episode is a two-part episode, today and tomorrow. So you will find a hard stop here at the end of this episode. You'll say, oh, it's over? No, that's because the next episode actually comes out tomorrow. This was so good that we just couldn't stop recording. I don't know if you guys have ever been there before where you're like, man, we're jamming. There's no reason to stop now. So that's exactly what happened on this episode. I don't know if you know who Darren Jacklin is, but if you don't, you're about to find out. He's somebody worth following and listening to. Has excellent, excellent, excellent things to say. We don't talk much about real estate, but we certainly talk a lot about what it takes to scale real estate as a person and who you need to become. So hey, stay tuned and just really look forward to sharing this episode and tomorrow's episode with you. Darren, welcome to the show.
I'm grateful to be here, Sam. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Oh, this is great. This is great. I wish we had more time. 15 to 20 minutes isn't going to quite cut it, I don't think, today. But we'll get as much in as we possibly can. I would love to hear the same questions we ask everybody who comes on board, which is, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how'd you get there? Of course, yours includes a comeback story. So maybe we can start there and then talk more about real estate.
Sure. You know, quick little background about myself. I grew up in a small city in Canada called Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Canada, less than 20,000 people in population. I failed grade one of public school and was misdiagnosed with a learning disability and a reading disability. So I never went to regular public school. I went to special education classes from grade one right through grade 12. And so I was in a different, educational plan, I guess you could say. When I was 7 years of age, I created my first little business called Rent-A-Kid. I would go out and cut grass, shovel sidewalks in the wintertime and deliver newspapers 6 days a week. And by the time I was 9 years of age, I was hiring my best friends in my neighborhood to go out and help me with different projects and different odd jobs. Failed my way through elementary, junior high, and high school. Eventually got to high school with the help of my classmates. I graduated with grade 12, barely passed high school. Don't know how to this day I got through, but I did. Just skimmed my way through. Left high school, then moved from Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Canada to a city called Vernon, British Columbia, Canada. And really had no direction, no focus, no purpose. So did multiple suicide attempts to end my life because I didn't believe in myself. I had a lot of negative self-talk. And my last attempt by driving my car at 140 kilometers an hour, 85 miles per hour towards a telephone pole, I stopped the car and I thought, I just can't do this. I got scared. And so I drove myself to a nonprofit organization, which was a crisis line prevention organization, turned myself into a bunch of counselors and psychologists. They started to work with me through their nonprofit organization. Then one of the ladies that worked there said, you've got to go meet Dale Carnegie. This is back in the early 1990s. Well, I didn't know who Dale Carnegie was. So I showed up at this hotel expecting to meet this gentleman to maybe mentor or influence or speak something positively into my life. Ended up being a 12-week training development course called Dale Carnegie Training. So I didn't have the money at the time. So I ended up signing up for the program, financed it over a year. And that changed my life in regards to Dale Carnegie. Went from there to Toastmasters and then started getting different jobs and got into entrepreneurship. And so long story short, got into the corporate training world back in 1995, used to make 400 cold calls a day. And between 1995 and the year 2000, I made over 100,000 cold calls, sometimes 3, 4, 5 months behind on paying my rent and paying my bills because I was so dedicated to building my business and making that take off as a startup. And so from 1995 to 2015, I ended up traveling the world multiple times, training and developing over 1 million people, 50 countries on 4 continents, including 157 of the Fortune 100 companies. And then currently today, I serve on some very successful boards of directors of public and private companies, paid for that, and advisory boards. And I have a real estate investment portfolio of spread across North America. And then Titian and I have our own private family foundation for global philanthropy, which over the next 10 years, we've committed $100 million to put through that foundation for Global Philanthropy Project. So, and then we've got we're building a 250-year legacy plan on top of the foundation for generational wealth to flow through our foundation for 250 years for philanthropy.
Wow. Wow. That's a long way from checking yourself in to suicide, prevention clinic to, creating a 250-year plan. I mean, the name of the show is, How to Scale, of course. And I guess for you, what was the light bulb moment when you just said, hey, I think it was Dale Carnegie, maybe at that conference, but what was the moment when you said, you know what? I've got a new plan and purpose.
Absolutely. Great question. I was actually in an apple orchard. I was homeless. I had invested into a startup company that went sideways. I was the co-signer and the bank came and repossessed everything. I was the co-signer. So they got my car. They got everything I had. Froze my bank account. So I couldn't make my rent on time. So the landlord kicked me out because I couldn't find a new place to live because back in the 1990s, you had to have 12 post-dated checks to give the landlord or property manager and first and last month's rent. And I was in the apple orchard one night and a black bear came into the apple orchard and I had a confrontation with a black bear. And at that moment in my life, I realized that nobody was coming to rescue me. If I had to get my crap together, if I didn't course correct and change the direction of my life, I'm going to be dead. So I made a life and death decision that I've got to, my mom is not coming. Nobody's coming to rescue me. I've got to grow up and man up. And I turned myself into a public library. And I turned myself into the business and the finance section of that public library because it was free. And I immersed myself in studying and reading. Even though I was misdiagnosed with a learning disability and a reading disability, I had to shift my belief system and my self-talk to turn things around. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of years and thousands of hours of training development. And I got mentors and coaches. And so I'm grateful today in what I've achieved, a lot of success and help scale and grow companies and portfolios and but it's what I've learned is success leaves clues. I've made lots of mistakes over the years and have had lots of adversities and failures and challenges. And now at the stage of the game of my life, it's my daily habits and my daily routines. And I can meet somebody in the first couple minutes, size somebody up, whether they're giving me a bunch of kumbaya, a bunch of crap in terms of what they're saying, because I don't watch what people say anymore. I watch their feet. I don't watch the lips. I watch the feet. Because the feet tell me if that person is going to be in action, if they're consistent, because behavior never lies. And without integrity, nothing works. There's no workability without integrity. It's core foundational principles. And so there's certain things that I do every day in my daily routines and my daily habits during the waking hours of my day that are non-negotiable. But you compound those daily habits and daily routines over a period of time, and the ripple of impact and the compounding effect is incredible in terms of people who track numbers would love the numbers. Because it's verifiable and it's specific, it's measurable and it's actionable. And that's what I do. So I just model and emulate what successful high performance men and women are doing. And I put into my daily habits, daily routines, and then that compounds over a period of time.
Right. So again, I love you went to the library, you started to, download information and read books and, plug everything into your brain that you possibly could. But even with all the information, I forget who said it. I'm stealing this from somebody else, but they said, if information was all you needed, every librarian would be a billionaire.
Yeah.
What was your next step? Like, where did you go from there?
Yeah, so good point. So for me was I got comfortable being uncomfortable. And I realized that, pay my bills and to keep collection entities away from me, I had to go out and hustle and grind. And when I had my rent-a-kid business when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, I went door knocking. One thing I discovered in terms of human behavior, which is a real good unfolding for myself, and if your listeners can write this down, this is powerful, is if we look at human beings around the planet, right? We're up in the International Space Station looking down on planet Earth, and we're looking at the planet from the International Space Station. We see all these human beings running around the planet. If we really look at us, you and I, Sam, or anybody listening to this around the world, all we are is a network of conversations. All we are is a network of conversations with other human beings. Just think about that. If we just break things down, right? Because I'm a simple guy when it comes to, the way I was educated with self-education, and formal education, I was simple. So I had to quite understand things because I had a learning disability and a reading disability I was labeled with. All we are is a network of conversations. So anything that we want in our lives is going to come from strangers. It's going to come from other human beings. Now, here's the key thing. There's two questions that changed my life. These are the million-dollar questions. Question number one is, where am I not requesting in my life? Where am I not requesting in my life? So here's the key thing. for every question that we don't ask, the answer is always no, right?
Right, absolutely.
So when we make a request, people will only do one of three things. There's only one of three things they're going to do. Step number one is they'll accept the request. They'll accept it. Step number two is they'll decline the request, right? They'll decline it. Or step number three is they'll counter offer it. Children are masters at this, right? Go to the grocery store at the checkout and they want a chocolate bar, right? What are they doing? They're making requests all the time. So what the thing is that you've got to look at is that where are we not requesting in our lives? Everything that we want is going to come from strangers because all we are is a network of conversation. So I've mastered making requests in my life personally and professionally. So step number one is, where am I not requesting in my life? Question number two is, who do I become when I don't make requests? So if you just do an audit, just do self-discovery, self-evaluation in your life, in a journal, a diary, or go for a walk, and just think, where am I not requesting in my life? So just look at your to-do list. Look at things that are not getting done. Look at things that are not working for you in your personal life. Where are you not making requests? So it could be getting referrals, endorsements, recommendations. It could be having somebody do some odd jobs or chores around your household. It could be looking after your children for a couple hours so you can return some phone calls or have a date night, right? Where are you not requesting? So, and then who do you become when you don't request? So when we look at who do we become when we don't request, we're contracting. We're coming from lack and scarcity versus abundance and prosperity. We're doing everything by ourselves, which then limits our growth and opportunity. So when I realized that when I got out of the way of myself, I could grow and scale very fast. And when people want to grow and scale like commercial real estate or residential real estate or grow and scale an investment portfolio, whatever it is, I help take a company from startup to a multi-billion dollar company, right? One of the things I've done, and we can do that in another episode, I can unpack that and share what you did to where we went from a startup to over 40,000 people around the world in a company, right? It's just incredible what we've done in less than, you know, a decade of time. And the key thing is that number one is, where am I not requesting in my life? Really look at in your life, where are you not requesting? And then who do you become when you don't make requests? And you will discover, because everything in our lives comes down to making requests and promises. And promises is mean what do, see, the easiest thing, what I discovered in my life through a lot of adversities and failures, the easiest thing to do is to break our word. What we give our word to is our promise. And what I used to have really low self-esteem, really low self. I didn't believe in myself. I had no direction. I had no focus. I had no purpose. I was all over the place, chasing shiny objects, chasing squirrels, distractions, you name it. I was a master of that. What I got was really focused now. And what I realized was in my life by focusing was understanding that in our lives, when we make a promise, do we keep it? You see, the thing is, if we just start to look at every day that we wake up during the waking hours of the day, what are you making promises to? What do you promise yourself? You say, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to clean up my house. I'm going to go get groceries. I'm going to run some errands. And you don't follow through. Each time you don't follow through on your personal promise to yourself, it affects your self-worth. It affects your vibration of energy. It affects your confidence. So what I really discovered in my life, being awake now in my life, is I used to be unawake and unaware, was what do I give my word to? What's my promise? So like you and I, I'll give you an example, Sam. So you and I had a commitment because I gave you my word to do this interview with you.
Right.
I was 1 minute late on this call, logging in to be on this call. First thing I would have did before we move on, I would have restored my integrity. Because without integrity, nothing works. Because, you know, you would have said, oh, don't worry about it, Darren. But to me, I gave you my word because in the back of people's minds is the unspoken. And this is a great way for people to understand if they want to grow and scale things, or they want to build financial wealth, is if you just take on this year, one key thing, start to really pay attention to what comes out of your mouth and what you give your word to. Because what you give your word to is so easy to break. But the impact in other human beings' lives is, I'll give you an example. Just the other day, I was on a group Zoom video conferencing call. And one of the decision makers, one of the key people who set up the meeting, was on the meeting agenda, showed up 7 minutes late. Came on the call, hey everybody, happy new year, good to see everybody. I'm sitting in the back thinking, this guy, I don't trust him, he's unreliable. And there's three types of money in life. There's calm money, cautious money, and nervous money. So whenever people are raising money or investing in things, one of the things I teach people on is there's three types of money. There's calm money, cautious money, and nervous money. So a great exercise is that whenever you go buy something, whether it's online or in person, just ask yourself, when you're pulling out your credit card or your debit card or pulling out cash, is your money calm, cautious, or nervous? When somebody approaches you through social media and wants you to take a look at some startup company or some real estate or some investment opportunity, is your money calm, cautious, or nervous? So it's kind of like a traffic light, green for calm, yellow for cautious, red for nervous. So if something's calm, green light, I'll proceed further through a discovery call and through due diligence. If it's yellow, cautious, I get my team around me, accountants or lawyer or Tatiana or other people in my life to do a deeper dive of due diligence and to vet it, right? And see about punching holes in it. If I feel at all, it's nervous money, red light, I'm out, 100% out. There's no convincing, I'm done. And the key thing is for your listeners who are watching or listening, if you reflect in your life, if you've ever invested into something that's never went the way it went sideways, you've lost your money, just check in with yourself. Do an honest gut check and say, was I calm, cautious, or nervous? Was I elated? Did I get a dopamine fix? Did I feel good? Was I in speculation mode? Was I looking? Because what I do in investments is Tatiana and I spend 80% of our time when we're in the discovery process, the due diligence process, 80% of our time between Tatiana and I and our team is spent on asset protection and looking at how the deal is structured and how do we protect ourselves. So risk mitigation, asset protection. And the mindset is you flip it. See, most people are always looking at the upside. What's the return on investment? For us is that we're asking, like the number one question I always ask in the discovery process or due diligence is how is our money protected? And in 45 seconds or less, if you cannot tell me simply, not complex wise, because I get some people like get so complex, I'm like, okay, I'm out. I'm nervous money. Because if you can't tell me in 45 seconds or less how my money is protected, then I have no interest in the investment opportunity.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. This is the end of the first part of a two-day episode. So tomorrow we will get to hear the rest of what Darren has to say when that goes live. So do stay tuned in and look for that tomorrow. Thanks so much. Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.